Hey, what's happening? Thanks for joining us this evening on the South Central Indiana News Network. You're listening to What's Happening, where we highlight local news and events for Bloomington and the surrounding region. Skip Daly here, and I'm rejoined by Julie Beasley. Now, you took the week off last week, but well-deserved. Not only did you have the opportunity to celebrate Mother's Day, but you graduated with your master's degree. Congratulations.
Thank you. After a long and hard 4 years, it was very exciting to be able to finally wrap up my master's degree and celebrate, though it was not traditional or normal in any way, shape, or form, but it was nice to officially celebrate. Thank you, Skip.
When you've returned here to the show, hopefully you've brought some warm weather with you. I mean, what is going on? We've had a pretty chilly front here over the last couple of weeks. Any insight as to what's going on here moving forward?
I have not checked the weather, but I am definitely ready for summer. The closer we get to June, I think the happier I am. Hopefully we get some 80s, mid-80s here soon.
I've got to say, I'm a little embarrassed about this, but I actually turned the house heat on last week for, about an hour and a half just to warm up the house. I think it was actually warmer outside than it was inside my house one day. I needed to warm up a bit.
We did the same. Actually, earlier this week, the heat was still on. And as it was warming up outside, had to turn the air conditioning on. So,
well, it's been an action-packed week indeed. There's a lot going on in Bloomington. There's a lot of projects. Now, we went ahead and we updated our website, bloomingtonnews.online, with some of the infrastructure updates that are going on in the city of Bloomington. But I drove by the parking garage at 4th Street for the first time in, a couple of weeks or so. And man, that progress has actually moved along quite well.
It's really coming along. If you drive downtown Bloomington, there are so many buildings going up. It's amazing. Over toward the Ellettsville area, there's a new Starbucks being built as well. Of course, something I would notice. I love my coffee, but there's a lot of projects, both infrastructure and businesses going up.
There's a new building going up in Ellettsville right there on, 46 in between Bloomington and Rain Curry? Sure. What's going on up there?
I am not sure. I would love any insight if anyone knows what's going on there. But it looks like, I can't tell if it's a store, potentially maybe a nursing home, assisted living. It's a pretty large building.
All right. Well, we will definitely look into that and report back on that. But today is the 14th of May. Let's take a look back at this week in history, all the way back in 1994, May the 10th. Nelson Mandela was inaugurated as South Africa's first Black president. On May the 11th in 1846, U.S. President James K. Polk asked for a declaration of war against Mexico, and that was the beginning of the Mexican-American War. On May the 12th in 1926, the Italian-built airship Norgay became the first vessel that flew over the North Pole. On May 13th, 1958, during a visit to Caracas, Venezuela, then Vice President Richard Nixon's car was attacked by anti-American demonstrators. And on May 14th, 1796, Edward Jenner administered the first smallpox inoculation. And our celebrity birthday today, turning 52 years of age, happy birthday to Cate Blanchett. Now, Julie, are you familiar with the work of Cate Blanchett?
I don't know if I know about her work. I certainly know she is an actress, but I don't know if I've seen any of her movies. Do you know some of her most popular?
You know what? I'm probably embarrassed to say I don't know a whole lot of her work. I know she was in one of the Indiana Jones films. She played a villain in the most recent Indiana Jones film was probably 20 years ago. But yes, I know she was in that, and she's been nominated for Emmys and Academy Awards and Tonys, and she's, the real deal in terms of actress.
You always see her at the award shows out in Hollywood. So happy birthday to Cate Blanchett. Today on the program, we will welcome Jill Vance with an update on activities over at Monroe Lake and our community update brought to us by the Porthole Inn at Lake Lemon and the music of Craig Brenner and the Crawdads. But first, your local news headlines brought to us by American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, providing innovative and smart money options for life and health insurance and investments. American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, online at asbofindiana.com. Now, Skip, tell us what's happening.
Restaurants in the state of Indiana that were temporarily able to sell alcohol for carryout during the pandemic get to do so permanently beginning July the 1st as House Bill 1396 will take effect. Some restaurants were only allowed to sell alcohol if people drank it in the establishment. Governor Eric Holcomb temporarily eliminated that rule during the pandemic to help businesses survive. Restaurants subject to the new law can't sell alcohol for carryout within certain parameters.
Indiana is sending doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine to counties for 12 to 15-year-olds, as appointments are now available for that age group following federal approval Wednesday afternoon. Earlier this week, Dr. Lindsay Weaver, Indiana Department of Health Chief Medical Officer, said 30 counties did not yet have a site with Pfizer doses, which is the only vaccine anyone under the age of 18 can receive. State Health Commissioner Dr. Chris Box said in addition to protection from the virus, getting your child vaccinated can make life easier, as vaccinated students who may be exposed to COVID-19 will not need to be quarantined and will not miss school or athletic events. Box said the state has no plans, however, to mandate the vaccine for anyone, including school children.
Governor Eric Holcomb's veto of Senate Bill 5 was overridden by the Indiana legislature earlier this week in a final vote of 59-30 in the House and 36-10 in the Senate. All local mandates relating to health emergencies are currently voided. The new law requires elected municipalities to vote to approve any and all local health orders more stringent than those imposed by the state of Indiana. According to Monroe County Commissioner Julie Thomas, Monroe County has already ratified the health order and they will be, quote, hearing an ordinance this week that establishes a hearing process.
Indiana University Associate Professor with the School of Public Health, Dr. Priscilla Barnes, has been awarded a $1 million Health Resources and Services Association grant to bring healthcare services to Daviess County, Indiana. The project's priority populations are residents living with an active addiction and individuals living in long-term recovery. Daviess County, which is located in the southwestern part of the state, and in 2019 had a population of more than 33,000 individuals, is a designated health professional shortage area and mental health professional shortage area. The grant will continue an extensive collaboration between Dr. Barnes's team and the IU School of Public Health Bloomington, the IU Center for Rural Engagement, and the Daviess County community, with support from the Indiana Office of Community and Rural Affairs, to develop a community health improvement plan and also implement strategies to address the community's greatest health priorities.
A quarter of Eli Lilly's Indianapolis headquarters employees will be returning to their downtown offices on June the 1st as COVID-related numbers begin to subdue. Approximately 7,000 Lilly employees are currently working from home. The plan is for the company to invite all employees back by the middle of July. For the time being, however, there will be indoor face covering and proof of vaccination requirements. David A. Ricks, chairman and CEO of Lilly, said that the company has learned a lot about how to conduct a remote workforce, and they will continue to offer employment flexibility.
Ashley Fouch, the three-year Daleville, Indiana high school girls basketball coach, has recently accepted the position as boys head coach, making her one of only a few women to have ever held this position. Fouch is a graduate of Muncie Central High School and Taylor University. She coached the girls to a sectional title last year and carries a 36-57 overall record as a high school head coach. And those are a look at your local news headlines. We'll be right back with more right here on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan. From newborn to 89 years old, from term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479, or online at bbmoving812.com.
And we're back. You're listening to What's Happening right here on the South Central Indiana News Network. And that was the music of Craig and the Crawdads. We're featuring their music all month. And now it's time for our community update brought to us by the world-famous Porthole Inn, the gem at Lake Lemon. Check out their catfish specials every Friday, and their live music schedule can be found on their Facebook page. The Bloomington Commission on Aging is observing Older Americans Month this May with the launch of the Senior Focus Program. The program will recognize the contributions of older adults in the community by highlighting individuals for their accomplishments, resilience in the face of change, and presence as a role model for others in the community. The 2021 theme of Older Americans Month is Communities of Strength. Community members are invited to nominate any Bloomington resident age 65 or older for recognition through the Senior Focus Program by Monday, May the 31st. Go ahead and check out that form on bloomington.in.gov.
Well, Skip, this week we are joined by Jill Vance, interpretive naturalist with Monroe Lake. Hi, Jill. How are you?
Hello. Thank you for having me on again.
Of course. You usually join us at least semi-annually each year for the last couple of years. And I remember our conversation last year being right in the middle of the pandemic. I know all of the lakes, at least in Monroe County and the surrounding area, were very busy with so many people getting outdoors and kind of exploring new opportunities to stay local. How are you doing? How is your family doing? And how is everything with the job this year?
Last year was an interesting year, certainly. We saw a lot of new people out on the property, and all indicators are so far this year that trend is continuing. If things are getting busy early, and you know, we've had some nice weather that goes with that. So we're looking at another big year, and some things opening back up, some programs and stuff that we weren't able to do last year are coming back. So it's going to be a busy summer, definitely. See how everything goes.
You mentioned everything starting to open back up. We're in the spring months, we'll be into summer. I think there are less than 3 weeks left until school gets out. What kind of things do you have going on? What is your area and department focused on right now with so many people looking forward to the summer months? I think Griffey Lake has everything open with going out and canoeing. What are things looking like right now on your end?
Our campground's fully open. That opened up fully with comfort stations and such a few weeks ago, mid-April. So, you know, camping is 100% ready to go. The marina opened up at the beginning of the month. And the boat rentals, which we don't actually operate ourselves, those are all private, but those are all up and running now and renting boats. And I definitely see those are getting pretty busy. Kind of the last things for us to open up, you know, we always kind of consider Memorial Day weekend as sort of our official kickoff of the summer recreation season. And so that's when the final things will also open up for us. And the main things that aren't yet open that will be open Memorial Day weekend, the swimming beaches. Those are the ones that everybody looks forward to at Fairfax and Paintown. Those will open Memorial Day weekend with the beach houses that go with them. Then the activity center at Paintown, which is what I oversee, will open the Friday of Memorial Day weekend as well. And looking forward to that. I have a small building, a small interior space. And so we kept it closed all last year and just set up outside on the porch. But putting some precautions into place and looking forward to opening the building again this year. One thing that people should be aware of when they're coming to any of the state parks, reservoirs, is that there is still a mask mandate in place for government buildings, for state-owned buildings, which we are. People do need to make sure they still bring a mask with them in case they need to go into our office, they want to come into the activity center. Any public buildings on our properties, we ask that people do continue to wear masks per the governor's order.
Talk to us a little bit about the condition of the water right now. What's the elevation like, the water levels? What's the temperature like? Something else that, you know, with all the hiking that you have going around there, I've been hearing a lot of stories about ticks and bugs being particularly crazy this year. Talk to us about some of those aspects.
So the water level is thankfully pretty much at normal summer pool right now, which is pleasant. I had been looking forward at the beginning of 2020 to having kind of a normal season. After 2019, we just had record flooding. In fact, you know, the road to my building was underwater until August. It was insane. And so silly me, I thought I was going to have a normal 2020. But 2021 is starting out a lot better on the water level side of things. So all the beaches should, unless we get a whole heck of a lot of rain in the next couple of weeks, the beaches should be you know, fully accessible, all the sand available. Water temperature is still chilly. People need to remember that water temperature does not change nearly as quickly as air temperature. For me personally, I don't really look at taking a dip into the water until around mid-June before it gets warm enough for me to consider it. I have definitely observed over the years that kids do not care what the temperature is and they'll dive in no matter what. It's too chilly for me Memorial Day weekend, but I know that the beaches will still definitely be packed nonetheless. So that's kind of where water conditions are looking at. What was the air part of your question again? Sorry.
I've been hearing stories about an elevation and ticks going on and different bugs and whatnot. What's the story with that?
The story is that as soon as the weather gets warmer, they start coming out. We've had some very warm days early on. Definitely the ticks are out. We've just kind of started to see mosquitoes getting active in the last couple of weeks. But I know my first tick of the year was, gosh, I think at the end of March. Definitely something you want to take precautions, because as soon as the weather gets you know, above freezing, it's potential for them to start coming out. And so the more warm weather we have, the earlier they're gonna peek their way out. Make sure you're checking yourself if you're out hiking, you know, wear insect repellent, particularly around your legs and ankles. It takes at least 24 hours usually for any disease to be transmitted after a tick is attached. So you've got some, you know, you don't have to panic if you come back, you know, out of the woods and 4 hours later you find a tick attached to you. Just, you know, yank that off and you know, and you're going to be okay. But it's important to check yourself. Keep that in mind after you're out in the woods.
Jill, we're going to come back here after break and we're going to have you talk about some of the programming that you have going on. You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
I'm injury attorney Matt Lloyd. With an injury claim, don't leave cash on the table by not realizing all the Indiana laws that can help you. The insurance company won't tell you about them, but call me for a free consultation to learn all the important steps to get the best settlement. Call or text 812-333-MATT or go online to myinjurycase.com. Let's join forces and fight for a settlement that makes sense for you. 812-333-MATT.
Welcome back. You are listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network. Julie Beasley here along with Skip Daly, and we are back from break with Jill Vance, interpretive naturalist at Monroe Lake. Now, Jill, before we went to commercial, we were talking a little bit about being out hiking and being aware of mosquitoes and ticks during the spring and summer months. Coming back on the topics of bugs, what I keep hearing about from so many people over the last really few months already is about the cicadas that we're expecting this year. And it sounds like, I think, any moment from what I understand. Can you talk a little bit of one, how that will impact your work and outdoors? And then two, I think you have an upcoming cicada event as well.
So I'm really excited about the emergence of Brood X, which is the 17-year cicada brood. So they only come up above ground every 17 years, mate, lay their eggs, and then they're done. It's a kind of a very abbreviated end to their life after spending that much time underground. But I actually started working for Indiana State Parks the last time that Brood X emerged. So this is my one cicada. anniversary with Indiana State Parks with this 17-year brood. And, you know, I remember the last time they came out. Man, it is amazing. I mean, they will just be everywhere. I was working at McCormick's Creek State Park that year, and they were so loud. My voice was hoarse because I was having to give programs my first couple of weeks. I was outside. I'm trying to yell over the yells of the cicadas. I mean, they were so loud. You know, I was hearing them inside the building even. So, you know, it's, you're not going to miss it. We actually have expected them to really start emerging already, but we've had these kind of unexpected spat of cold weather here, and that's lowering the soil temperature. And so that's keeping them underground a little bit longer. But, you know, anytime here in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start to see them come out in enormous numbers. And there are a lot of other animals that are going to be gorging themselves on these cicadas. So there are a lot of animals that are going to have a field day for about a month or so while these guys are out. They are really fascinating. They, you know, we get annual cicadas that come out every year, but these periodic cicadas are something different, something special. Again, the annuals every 17 years for this brood is incredible. And so people want to learn a little bit more about them, kind of celebrate them a little bit at Paintown State Recreation Area on Memorial Day weekend, on the Saturday and Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. We're going to have a kind of sort of a cicada celebration. We've got a bunch of cicada-themed crafts and activities planned for people, and give them an opportunity to learn a little more about these insects and have some fun at the same time. So looking forward to that.
So Jill, let's talk a little bit more about some of the other programs that you have going on. Now, there's typically some boat instruction and there's some guided hiking and through the trails. Are those types of things still going on this year?
Those are going on. I will mention first of all, I've got two other things coming up here in May. Actually, this Saturday at Paintown again is going to be Kids to Parks Day. And there's a set of activities specifically targeted at kids that anyone can come out and enjoy. A good place to find out about both of these events that I've mentioned so far is to go check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monroe Lake, and head over to our events tab, and you're going to get all the details about the programs for both of these. And then also here this month, I'm going to be doing, I started doing a lot of virtual programming in 2020. It's actually been really popular, and I'm keeping up with, not at quite the same level that I was doing a lot of 2020. Every month I do at least one live virtual program, and I'm really excited about the one this month. It's going to be Tuesday, May 25th, 11:30 a.m., and I'm going to be doing a Q&A with Al Parker, who is part of the bald eagle reintroduction in the state of Indiana, which happened right at Monroe Lake in the early 1990s. And so I'm going to have a chance to chat with him, ask him my questions, and then also ask him questions from the people watching. So very much looking forward to that. So that's all set for May. We also have some other stuff going on Memorial Day weekend on the Friday and Monday as well. And then a lot of our more kind of traditional summer programming picks up in June. And, you know, one of my favorites that I'm looking forward to are I do a series of guided kayak trips. Those will start up in June. And I also offer beginner kayaking workshops that will start up in June as well. Also, you know, we'll do almost daily programming for kids at Paintown, people in the campground during the month of June, day visitors. We have free fishing weekends coming up the first weekend of June, which includes a youth fishing derby. So again, I'll refer people to our Facebook page right now. Just our May schedule is finalized because my summer staff, it literally started on Monday. So we are, we're getting them through training this week, and then we'll start planning out details of the June schedule ASAP. But I definitely, you know, check out facebook.com/Monroe Lake, head over to the events tab. And as we get some of our June stuff together, they'll be posted. Major events will be posted there. And people can also, there's a link there where they can join our monthly newsletter, send out details on all of these, plus links for our daily programs. So we do so many like daily programs during the summer. I can't post them all. So I encourage people to get on that newsletter to get the links for those.
You were talking about a few of your favorite things at Paintown to do. While we're on the topic, for anyone listening that's looking for maybe areas that are a little bit more quaint or quiet where there's not a lot of traffic, are there any specific points anywhere on Monroe Lake that are maybe your favorite, that are really secret hiding spots that you would recommend for whether it's hiking or kayaking or just getting out in nature?
One of the least known parts of our property that is accessible to the public during the summer months is our Stillwater North Fork waterfowl resting area. And this is an area that during the fall, winter, early spring is close to the public for waterfowl migration. And we actually have winter wetlands that we maintain in there to support the migrating birds. From April 15th through September 30th, that whole area is open to the public to explore. And it's really kind of like a nice hidden gem. There aren't any official trails back there, but you can easily, you know, walk through. There's access roads through the fields. There's levee walls that you can walk. The wetlands themselves are drained pending water levels, which this year the water levels are cooperating with us. So we should be draining on schedule. So the low areas will be draining out and drying out. But it's a haven for birds, haven for all kinds of wildlife back there. Definitely a place that I think a lot of people don't know about and would like to, if you're looking for some peace and quiet. That can be accessed off of McGowan Road. So kind of it's between Bloomington and Nashville off of 46.
Jill, we are almost out of time. We've got another minute or so. Go ahead and give your best pitch of why people should come down to Monroe Lake.
I think we've got some 20,000 acres at Monroe Lake, and there really is there's a little bit of everything here, no matter what kind of outdoor recreation that you're looking for, that you're interested in, we've got it. And I don't think a lot of people realize how beautiful the lake is and how many areas there are to explore within it, including the history. The history of this property is amazing, and that's a particular passion of mine. And I don't think a lot of people really take the time to dive into that aspect of the property as well. So I just encourage people to get out here, explore some of the backwater areas by boat, get out there on a kayak or a canoe, check out some of the more remote areas, do some hiking, like I mentioned at Stillwater North Fork. Stop by the activity center, chat with me at Paintown, and I'd be happy to give people some specific recommendations. But, you know, it is a gorgeous place, plenty of area to spread out, find some solitude if you want it, or get together with friends. You know, maybe not so much solitude, but enjoy the lake in a different way. Plenty of room for both types of groups to be coexisting at the same time.
All right. Now, season passes, those are available at all the guard shacks?
Yes, you can get the Indiana State Park annual entrance permit is good. We have 9 recreation areas on the lake that the state runs, and we only charge it 2 of those, Paintown and Fairfax. And both of those do accept the Indiana State Park entrance permit. You can buy those at the gatehouse. You can buy it at our office at Paintown. You can also purchase them online on the DNR's website if you want to get them sent to you by mail. And of course, there's a daily entrance as well if you don't want to get an annual pass. I will also mention there's one other recreation area on the lake. That's Hardin Ridge. That's a federally owned property. So they fall under the Hoosier National Forest. And so our permit will not work at Hardin Ridge, but it'll work at all the other recreation areas that charge on the lake.
All right. Well, Jill, thank you so much for joining us. And we always appreciate your stories and the knowledge, just the information of what's going on. Monroe Lake is Bloomington, and we just definitely appreciate you sharing all of the activity with us. And again, that's facebook.com/Monroe Lake.
That's right. Yeah, Monroe Lake.
All right, Jill, thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.
All right, thank you so much for having me.
And we'd also like to thank our friends over at the Porthole Inn for sponsoring our community update and the music of Craig Brenner and the Crawdads. On behalf of Julie Beasley and the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Skip Daly. Join us each and every week as we keep you in touch with what's happening.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.